Turn in your Bibles with me this morning for a few minutes to Luke chapter 2. Our Advent theme for this week is joy. And Luke chapter 2 gives us a very strong connection to joy. Luke chapter 2. And I'm really going to tighten the focus today to just a singular verse. And since the college students have already read the passage in its entirety, what I want to do is drop down and focus then on verse number 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Father, as we look into this passage, as we have done many times during the Christmas season in years gone by, Lord, we ask you to give us fresh eyes to see and give us attentive ears to hear what the Spirit says through this word. Father, there is good news, and there is great joy. And those are inextricably tied together. You can't have one without the other. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen that connection in our hearts. And Father, if there's a person here today, either in the service or watching on our stream, Father, that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, Father, could this not be the day that you open their heart to believe? But we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. It's quite an amazing story that angels would show up with shepherds and make an amazing announcement. The first thing in verse 10 that you notice is that this is an angel speaking to them. This is no ordinary conversation. This is God sending his messenger into the world. And in sending that messenger, that angel into the world, he was executing God's plan of redemption. This is no regular birth announcement. This is God breaking into time and space in the form of Jesus Christ. God taking on flesh and dwelling among us. So no wonder his first words were, "Fear not." Because of the awesomeness and the glory of the angels of the Lord, we know that these shepherds were overwhelmed with a sense that they were in the presence of something greater and mightier than they had ever experienced. They are overwhelmed to the point of fear. And so the angel says, "Fear not." Now, beginning in the next phrase, the word "for." In Greek, it's the word "gar." And anytime you take introduction to Greek, they will tell you that where you find a gar, you find a purpose statement. That the purpose statement is revealed to us in this word. So he says, "Behold." That word in Greek is "adu." And "adu" means to pay attention to this. Watch closely. Listen to this. Don't miss it, is the idea behind that single word. that I'm getting ready to say something critically important to you. So please don't let this gloss over you, but sit up in your seat and pay close attention to what I'm about to say. That's the angel's word there. Behold. Now, the next phrase is really interesting. I bring you good news. It's one word in the Greek New Testament. Euangelizo. It's the word that we get for evangelism. It is the sharing of the gospel, the announcing of good news, or as we've sung it, glad tidings. This word is a preaching word. It is a proclamation. So he says to them, don't be afraid because I have a great purpose. And the great purpose that I carry in my heart, you need to listen to this. Behold, I am bringing you, announcing to you, heralding to you the good news of Jesus Christ. Now that word is an important word. In fact, the word is used in the Old Testament, and I want you to go chase it down with me because I want you to see it with your own eyes. I don't want you to say that he's just making this up. Isaiah chapter 40. Please turn to Isaiah chapter 40, and I want you to see this same word used in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 9, the same verb. Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion. Here it is. Herald of good news. That's the same word that we have in Luke chapter 2. Herald. Heralding is announcing. Heralding is proclaiming. This is euangelizo, my heralding of the good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of the good news. Lift it up. Fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. The angel in Luke chapter 2 is off of Isaiah 40 saying to us in the same manner, behold, behold, behold your God. Emmanuel, God is with us. So the background of the word is incredible. It's the same word, by the way, that is used in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, which is quoted by Jesus in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Here's what it says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news, euangelizo, to proclaim good news to the poor. Who are the first recipients of the good news but poor shepherds? And what is God doing? He's putting His plan into motion. He's putting His plan into reality. The very fulfillment of Isaiah 61 is taking place through the angel who says to the shepherds, here is your God. This is God in the flesh. Behold Him. Now the next word in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, to them. That's hymeus in Greek, to you, actually. So fear not, for behold, euangelizomai, I bring you good news of a great joy. The word great there in Greek is megas, where we get our word for mega. If you win the Mega Millions, what do you win? A lot. Wow. Tim said a lot of friends. You mega But this isn't talking about finances. This is talking about joy. Mega joy. That the coming of Christ and the good news is to bring us mega joy. Mega. Not small, not medium, not large, but mega. Just love that. Mega joy. And then the word joy is chara, where we get our word for grace in English. Grace is God's chara to us in Jesus Christ. And so this is telling us something so significant, and I just couldn't get off of this point. Good news, great joy. Good news, great joy. Good news, great joy. Say it with me. Good news, great joy. Now, how many of us have grown up associating that our joy is our circumstances? You think about that. Your mom even came in and consoled you when you were young and told you that there were going to be better days than the days that you're facing right now. We grew up always looking ahead to when joy might come our way. But the problem with that is it never comes. For many people, joy is elusive. They are always searching for it, but never finding it. How many of us said as teenagers, once I get my license, oh man, life is going to be so good. Or once I finally go off to college, oh man, life is going to be so good. And then what happens in the midst of getting into college? You start saying, oh, once I graduate, life is just going to rock. Once I get my first real job, some of you are thinking that right now, then I'll finally have joy in my life. Others of you are saying, once I get a different job, then I'll have real joy. Or how about this? Once I buy my first home, then I'll have real joy, a place of my own. Singles are saying, once I finally get married, there will be joy. Oh, they have so much to learn, don't they? Well, I got some good amens on that from the guys. And then when you're married, you say, oh, well, once we start having children, I'll have this home that's just filled with joy. And then those children grow up and move out. And you say, oh, well, once we have grandchildren, we'll finally have joy. And some of you are saying in these later days, once I retire, I will finally have joy. But the problem is we're looking for joy in all the wrong places. Because joy is not in the things of the world. In fact, I would move you today to consider this, that joy is not so much an emotion or a feeling, but it is a theological reality. Amen. And the theological reality is that I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. And because of that theological reality, I have joy despite any circumstances that I may be going through. Joy is, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Many of you are taking notes, I'm encouraged. Joy is seeing and delighting. It's got to be both. Because you can see it and what? Ignore it. You can see it and pass it up. But if you see it and you delight in it, you have joy. Joy is seeing and delighting in God's presence and glory. I'm going to say it again. Joy is seeing and delighting in God's presence and glory. So think about that. The more of God's presence I have in my life, the more joy I experience. Because in the presence of the Lord, there is joy. We see and delight in God's glory in the incarnation. And the incarnation is just a big word that means God incarnus. It's Latin, taking on flesh and dwelling among us. The incarnation brings God's presence to us. This is why it's good news. This is why it's tied to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 10. Behold your God. Behold your God. And now the angel says, behold, your God is here, and his name is Jesus, the Savior. So the incarnation brings us God's presence. There is hope because God is with us. And it's not about a feeling. It's not about an emotion. In fact, biblical joy is less of a feeling or an emotion, but more of a theological reality that God is with us becomes the foundation for our joyous affections. And this is intended to bring us great joy. So I want you to think along with me about joy as we talk about a few of these scriptures that I've selected today. This is the source of joy. It comes from Psalm chapter 4, verse 7. Let me read that to you. The psalmist is talking to God. God is the audience, and here's what he says. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. That is so telling about the source of joy. Because what you and I have to give up on is the fact that somehow, some way, we have to produce joy in ourselves. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the joy that we experience as believers comes from God. It is sourced from God. Any joy that I have in my life is joy that God has put there, that God has placed there. Because in and of ourselves, as weak, sinful, selfish individuals, we can't manufacture this joy, but God gifts it to us in the gospel by His charis or His grace. So Psalm 4:7 is so impactful on this. You have put more joy in my heart. Now, what's he comparing it to? You know how excited the pagans get when their grain and their wine abound? God, what you have given to me is even greater than that joy and excitement that they experience when they have a good harvest, a bountiful harvest. In other words, the joy of the Lord in our hearts is more bountiful than any human bounty can understand. Acts chapter 13, verse 52 says this, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. That's the description of the disciples in the early church. They were filled with joy. And remember, I've been teaching you this over the last couple years. Whatever fills you controls you. Whatever fills you controls you. So if you're filled with anger, then guess what? You're going to be controlled and driven by anger. If you're filled with greed, then you're going to be controlled with greed. But if you're filled with the joy of the Lord, then isn't it amazing that the joy of the Lord, which is your strength, can guide you, can lead you, can strengthen you, can uphold you? Where did the disciples get the feeling of joy? John 15, chapter 11. John 15, 11 should be up here on the screens. I love this verse. These things I have spoken to you that may my joy may be in you. Someone who asked the question, where is this joy coming from? Where is this joy, this joyous affection that I see in your heart? Where does that come from? And we say, oh, it has nothing to do with me. but the joy of Jesus is in me. The joy of Jesus is in me. That's what it says. My joy may be in you. If the joy of Jesus is in you, how could you not help but to be joyful? Amen. And that your joy, he goes on to say, may be full or complete, that your joy is missing nothing. Because in Jesus Christ, you have everything. He is completely and totally sufficient for all of our needs. Christ is our all in all. Galatians 5:22 again reminds us that joy is not something we manufacture, but the Spirit of God is what is giving birth to this joy in our hearts and fanning the flames of joy. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. That the source is this abiding and growing relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit that is fanning into flame every day the joy that Christ has put in us. Even Paul says it this way in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Think about that. Paul is praying for the Christians in Rome, and this is his prayer, that God would fill them with joy and peace. And how? In believing. By faith. So where do we experience true joy? Where do we experience true joy? Is it Dollywood? Is it Walmart? I mean, where is it? Not on a Saturday at 4 o'clock. Walmart is a headache, not a source of joy. I can prove that. Psalm 16:11 gives us an idea. You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. Now, some of you may just need to write that one down and just meditate on that. Just marinate on that. Because the one thing that might be missing right now in your life is slowing down and entering into the presence of the Lord by opening up a Bible and praying and reading and meditating on the glories of the Word of Jesus Christ. If there is a diminished joy in your life, it is directly proportional to the fact that you're not getting into the presence of the Lord. Do you want to know why I love coming to corporate worship on Sunday with the body of Christ? Because I sense the joy of the Lord in this place. And I get to experience that with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's six other days during the week. And are we engaged in any way in the presence of the living God with our worship? And by the way, let me just say it again. I've said it before. If worship isn't happening in here on Sunday mornings in your heart, you need to look at what's happening Monday through Saturday. Because only true worshipers who worship in spirit and truth see worship as a way of life and not a time on Sunday morning. God make us spirit-filled worshipers who love and long for the presence of Christ. This is the fullness of our joy, being in the presence of the Lord. Psalm 21, verse 6 says the same thing. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. Jesus is Emmanuel. And we know that Emmanuel means what? God with... Y'all finish it. So it makes sense that if we have the joy of Jesus, we have the presence of God. God is with us. And now the message of the gospel, the message of the new covenant, is that God is in us by the Spirit. We are the living temples of God. We who have God's Spirit, the joy of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. We get to live daily in the presence of our God. And that's where the joy is. God, where will I see your presence today? Where will I experience your presence today? Lord, lead me and guide me into places where you are working and where you are showing your glory and presence. Psalm 43, verse 4 talks about prayer. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. So what is the response to this kind of joy? You can't just sit there, can you? You can't just passively let it fly by. Psalm 35, verse 27 says this, "Let those who delight in my righteousness shout, shout, shout for joy." Oh my goodness, this is church, and you want us to shout? I sure do. Shout for joy. Praise the Lord. Praise His holy name. Shout because God has been good. Praise you, O Lord, for your faithfulness. Praise you, O God, for your goodness. Praise you, O Lord. You can do it. Not because a pastor told you to do it. You can do it because the Spirit of God is so overflowing in your heart that you're not going to let the rocks cry out in your place. You're going to praise the Lord. Amen. I hope you will shout. I hope you will scare your wife, scare your kids, scare your dogs. Because you're going through the house and you're saying unashamedly and without any reserve, praise the Lord. God is good, people. And He's good all the time. And He deserves our praise. He deserves our adoration. Don't be ashamed to tell the world what the Lord has done for you in your life. I was sitting around the table last night, and our boys, they were in the kitchen and they were cooking, and Laura woke up from a nap, and I was just watching the interaction at home, and I didn't shout it, but I said it to myself. God, you have been so good to us. You have been so good to us. And there's joy in that. There's joy that the Lord is at work. The Lord is present. Let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy. Now you go shout at a football game. Well, you'll go shout at a basketball game. My point is, I know you know how to shout. But are you using your shout for the Lord? Are you using what God has gifted and put in you to be able to say that? Listen to Psalm 32:11. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Philippians 4:4, Paul says it this way, rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. He doesn't say to rejoice in your changing, fleeting circumstances. He says to rejoice where? In the Lord. And what the angel is announcing to the shepherds and to the world is the Lord is here. The Lord has arrived. Your good news of great joy has been born in Bethlehem. And how do you make sense of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You see, if joy is tied to pleasing circumstances, you can't understand Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. How could Jesus consider this cross joy, the author says. Do you know what he experienced? He experienced the joy of knowing that he was being obedient to his Father. He experienced the joy of knowing that he was bringing salvation to the world. He experienced joy in knowing that sinners no longer had to die and go to hell. That by faith in Jesus Christ, they could become new creations. Through repentance and faith, they could become those followers of Jesus. Those followers of Jesus who die and are raised to walk in newness of life. Those followers of Jesus who know what it is to walk in His saving grace. I think the reason Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, is He realized that He was unleashing through the cross the power of forgiveness, the conquering power of overcoming sin, death, hell, and the grave. Jesus was celebrating already the victory that God was going to accomplish and achieve through the cross. And He looked at that path and He said, "It brings me great joy to come into this world and to die that others may live." And friend, if you've never received Christ, made Him the Lord of your life, there's not a better day, there's not a better time than right now. Jesus is everything you would ever want and more. Everything you would ever need and more. He is the all-satisfying Christ. And you are never going to find joy in the world, lasting joy, eternal joy, until you finally come to the end of yourself and say, "God, I've gotten the car, I've gotten the college, I've gotten the job, I've gotten the house, I've gotten the wife, I've got the kids, I've got the grandkids, I'm retired. Why am I still so disappointed? Why am I still so miserable? Why do I feel like I'm unfulfilled?" Could it not be that what's missing from your heart right now is the Lord Jesus Christ? A true bowing to Him, making Him Lord of your life. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for the Word. Thank You for the good news. And God, I know that there are some Christians today who maybe through no fault of their own have let the good news become the old news. And Father, my prayer for them is today that You would rekindle a fire in their hearts, that You would stir up their affections for Christ. The angel said it, "Look, pay attention. Never forget this. Good news has come your way. Grace has broken into time and space and taken up residence in a human body. This is good news. It's good news because God has not left us to ourselves. It's good news that God has reconciled us to Himself." So, Father, the joy of Christmas is the gospel. It's seeing and savoring the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, help us to behold His glory, the glory of the one and only begotten, full of grace, full of truth. I wonder today if you can say honestly with your heart, you have seen Christ and you delight in Him. You savor Him. You treasure Him above all things. Because folks, that's what salvation is. It's calling on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. To be saved from your sin. To be saved from death and hell and the grave. To know that in Jesus Christ we can be forgiven and we can be reconciled to God and we can have a life of joy because Christ is in us and His joy, His unconquerable joy, His uncomparable joy is the source of our life and strength. Lord, there may be some today who want to unite with our church. We invite them to come at this time during our invitation. Others who may just want to come and pray at the altar today. Father, we don't know whose hearts You're at work on today, but we do know one thing. You are here, and You are at work, and the presence of the Lord is in this place, and there is joy among Your people. And for that, I give thanks. Would You move on our hearts and minds to respond to the message with obedience? And anyone who has any questions or needs counsel, you're welcome to come and meet with one of our pastors. Father, it's Your time. Move among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.